Good morning. It's good to see everyone today. We've been talking about what it means to be a member of a local church, particularly this local church, for the past couple Sundays. We've done that now for the past 4 years. Actually, this is the fourth time we've actually started out in January talking about what it means to be a member of a local church. If you look back on the years, or you go out there and look on that wall out there, you will see some of the sermon series that we've done over the years, likening, according to the Bible, what it means to be a church. This year, I've titled this series "Belong" because I finally feel like I've been here long enough to where I can say, you know, I belong here. And we said to belong here means that I have history here. I've been here long enough to have history with CFC, and as well as feeling like I'm a part of making history with CFC. I can look back on what God has been faithful and done, and I can, with expectation, look ahead at what He will be faithful and do. And so that's kind of how we've marked the time over these past couple weekends, and we've done that by looking at some of the signage in our church. I talked about, first of all, you remember our motto, what it means for us to love God and love people. And then last week, we looked at what our mandate is as it's cast in Matthew 28. We said we want to glorify God by making disciples of all people, and we see that also on the banners here, and that's the mandate God has given us, and He's called us to a mission, and that's what we want to look at today. We want to look at a mission. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in the context of a mission, meaning something that astronauts did, right? I mean, who among us who've lived long enough to remember the television series didn't hear that faint, familiar space and time ping at the beginning of the episode, and James T. Kirk would come on with that little paragraph describing who they were as the Star Trek commanders. They were people who were on a mission. He would say space, right? The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly, say it with me, go where no man has gone before. That's from the 60s, people, for crying out loud. And you can't memorize your scripture, your Bible? Come on, you pulled that out of the 60s. You pulled that forward from the 1960s. See, I got you. I'm on to you now, see? You can remember stuff. You can know these things, right? But again, what an incredible purpose cast for us at the beginning of every episode of why these guys were hurtling themselves through space at warp factor 2 to explore strange new worlds. They were on a mission. They were given a time frame, right? I think they only lasted 3 seasons, but they at least were sent out there for 5 years, right? And the purpose was to explore strange new worlds, seek out new life and new civilizations. And the implication would be that if they made contact with those lives and civilizations, they would look for common ground. They would look for ways to share relationship and experiences, right? Most of the time, or many times, they were hostile. But the reality is that we're still about that mission. We may not be pouring out our love on the moon or Mars anymore, even though we are still exploring outer space. You and I still exist to be a part of a mission that seeks to make contact. But it's contact for a purpose, right? Over the last few weeks, we've said that, first of all, where we belong, we will have history and we will make history. That's what it means to belong to a church. And as a result of that, we will make history, we said. Throw that up there on the screen. We will make history for Jesus by having history with Jesus, right? We will make history for Jesus only by having history with Jesus. And we can do that because you cannot impart what you do not possess. In other words, I can't make history for Jesus. I can't move into the future on this mission without possessing the resources to fulfill it. I will only make history for Jesus. We as a church, a local church, will only make history for Jesus by keeping history, by keeping and maintaining a relationship with Jesus. And then finally, we will make history by staying faithful to the mission. We will make history by staying faithful to this mission. And what is this mission? Well, you find it couched in a prophecy given to us in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. I love the way Habakkuk describes this. This is God's purpose for our world, y'all. For as the waters fill the sea, Habakkuk says, the earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of the Lord. There's your purpose. There's your mission. To share the experience and to be a part. You were created. Why were you made? What's your purpose for being here? Your purpose for being here is to glorify God in your life. To be a part of that expression to this creation, that God fills this world with an awareness of His glory. Right? And you're like, well, wait a minute. I got my own dreams. I've got my own pursuits that I want to do. Right? That's fine. As long as it's part of glorifying God with your life. Okay? You and I are living in a culture that sees the evidence of what happens when people hold on to their own dreams for their own self-gratification and worship. What happens is, if you receive the admiration from the world and you receive the worship from the world from the produce of the gifts that God has given you, if you take that off of yourself, you will lose your mind. You will lose touch with reality. That's why we watch these shows on television, these reality shows, these experiences. We wait for the wheels to come off of the lives of the people who are out there receiving all this stuff. It's like watching a train wreck you can't turn away from. The lives of people who live for that kind of self-gratification. And it should sadden us more than it entertains us. But the reality is that they're doing something on a grand scale that you and I can do quietly throughout the course of our lives, and that is seek our own self-gratification in a way that we keep it to ourselves. And when you do that, you lose touch with your purpose. You lose touch with the reality for the reason you've been made, which is to glorify God, to be a part of God's expression of glory in this world, in pointing to Him as a result of the work and in pointing others to Him as a result of that work. It glorifies Him. That's why we're here. And we do that as a local church on this mission that the Apostle Paul describes for us in Colossians chapter 1. So if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me there in verse 25. And again, this is just a fresh passage that we can look at in the Scripture, that it's a variation on the same theme. All right? There's nothing different. There's nothing inconsistent about anything I've shared with you in previous years from other texts. The Apostle Paul is giving us just another variation on the same theme. When he writes the Colossians in chapter 1, down in verse 25, Paul says, God has given me the responsibility of serving His church by proclaiming His entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you, Gentiles, too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing His glory. There it is. So Paul says, we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, the word before us is your word given to your church to remind us once again of why we are here. We gather in this place, Father, not only to seek you and to sing and worship you. Father, we open our hearts and the ears that you give us to listen, that we might receive from you what it means to live for you, to the glory of God, through our Savior who makes it so. And we pray in His name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to study with you just for a moment. And at the end of this service, it'll be our opportunity to reflect on the church covenants that y'all received when you came in. And once again, decide if you want to become a member of CFC or reaffirm your membership of CFC. We want to do that again this year. We're going to give you a moment to do that. But before we do, I want to look intently at one verse here in this selection that we just read. And it's verse 28. Look at what Paul says in verse 28. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. The first thing I want you to see about that text is that as it casts our mission, Paul says our mission begins with a personal introduction, not practical instruction. Our mission begins with a personal introduction, not practical instruction. Again, look at the very first part of Colossians 1:28. So we tell others about Christ. Written literally in the Greek, Paul says, we proclaim Him. It begins with a personal introduction. Our mission begins with introducing people to Jesus. We preach Jesus, right? I used to have a local pat when I was down in Dixon. We play these kind of pranks on each other in a little town. You got to come up with something because you can get kind of boring living in a little town like that. And so we had three pastors in that little town. And one of them came about the same time I came, so we got to know each other real well. And throughout the week, he would pick up the phone every now and then. He'd disguise his voice, and he would call me when he knew I was in the office because he was just across the way. He could see my car sitting in front of the parking lot. He'd call me, and I'd pick up the phone. I said, Dixon General Baptist Church. He said, hey, y'all preach Jesus over there. And I'd be like, yes, of course we do. You know, I'd get real serious about it. And then he'd go laughing. I'm like, what are you doing? Yes, we preach Jesus. I mean, but at the same time, as much as he played on me with that, it's the point, right? It's the point that we as a church can get lost in. It's the point even in discipleship that we can get lost in, right? We begin the mission with a personal introduction, y'all. We preach Jesus. We tell people about Him. We tell people about His work. Because it's His work, not our work, that builds our lives as His disciples and builds our church as His people. We preach Jesus. But you know what? I find that it's a lot easier for me to do that in here, where I assume that you're here to listen about. It's a lot different for me to come here and say, Jesus is my guy. Jesus is our guy. It's a lot different for me to do that here in this context at times than it is for me to do it out there in the workplace, or when I go to school, or when I'm standing next to a person at soccer practice. It's a lot different for me to do that. I want to move toward my experience. I want to move toward the wisdom that my experience has provided. I want to begin to give practical instruction, just good life lessons, good value statements based on my relationship with Christ, based on what I know about Jesus, but skipping over the personal introduction. Why? Because, man, for some reason in our culture, we're living in a world where we can talk about all the values that Jesus brings without ever saying His name. Okay? And we can completely misrepresent Him as our Savior. We can completely leave it out, as if giving practical instruction to somebody else helps them pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and stand before God based on your experience and wisdom. No, we begin this mission by preaching Jesus. Because that guy standing next to me at soccer practice needs to know as much as I do that he needs a Savior. That mom next to you in the Starbucks line needs to know that she needs a Savior as much as you do. And that there's nothing that you can say to them, as good as it may be, that will ever make them right in their standing before God. As we've just celebrated here in this communion time. You know what that declaration says right there? Scott just described it to us, right? That declaration says for us, in summation, we all need Jesus. And it's His work and His person that sets the foundation for everything we launch from in our mission. We need Jesus, we preach Jesus, and our mission begins not with practical instruction, but with a personal introduction. And from that, our mission moves into instruction. Secondly, our mission includes, Paul says, biblical instruction for a finished or a completed construction. All right? Colossians 1:28. So we preach Jesus, we proclaim Jesus, and then Paul says the biblical instruction includes warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom that God has given us. There it is. It's not just our own personal experience. It's not just our wisdom from what we've tested in this world on our own, but it is biblical instruction. It is knowing our Bibles, the person of Jesus, and what he has taught now to warn as well as teach. Two different terms Paul uses in the Greek. First word, warning, where we get the word counseling. The word nouthetic. In other words, using biblical truth to warn people of the lifestyle or the road that they're on, being inconsistent with what God would say about righteousness in this world. And then teaching, or the word didasco, speaks to knowledge, the study about God. What does it mean for God to exist as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? What does it mean for the Spirit of God to live inside of you? What does it mean to know about the Spirit, to know about the work of Jesus, to know about the person of Jesus, to know who he is in his Christology? What does it mean to be expressed as God the Father? Teaching people about these things, about biblical knowledge and theology and doctrine, is essential. But Paul prefaces that with warning. Now, when I was a kid, I used to read that, and maybe you do too. Maybe you did too. Warning, you know. That's where you beat your fist against the pulpit, right? The warning was coming when the preacher was beating the pulpit, right? The warning comes when somebody grabs you by the shirt collar and says, straighten up. The warning comes when the stones come out and go, we're going to rock you if you don't change your ways. It sounds very judgmental, but that's not the heart of what Paul is saying here at all. One of our friends here at CFC, I love when God touches lives later in life. Not because I'm envious of all the heartbreak at times that's had to go on before that, but I love the contrast here in our body of people who were raised to love Jesus from the time they were born until the people who started walking with him later in life. And as I've talked with couples here, they've inspired me to look at what this warning here means in their relationships. I find that sometimes people who have come to Christ or in the discipleship process later in life, they're much more simple and serious about the way they take things here. And again, I'm challenged by people who are willing to sit across from me and say, Dale, are you sure you're not believing a lie about that? Just very lovingly pointing out to me that it's possible for me and it's possible for you to fall into a pit and to believe something about our lives or to believe something about this world out here that's completely inconsistent with what God says. And you say, well, I ought to know better. Yeah, you ought to know better, and you're so familiar with it that sometimes Satan just blows by you and gives you a bait that you take. And the next thing you know, you're swimming in it and you don't even know. And we need people in our lives. We need to belong somewhere, y'all, where somebody will sit across from us and not warn us in the context of hitting us with a steel-plated Bible, but warning us in the context of, are you not falling for a lie there? Is that really true, what you just said? I don't know about you, but just a simple statement like that in love can reshape my life. Because Satan, that's what he does. He gets us to doubt God's love. He gets us to doubt God's word. And he does so very subtly. Look at what he says to Eve in the garden. He says to Eve in the garden, did God really say that? I mean, you won't die if you eat that. I mean, God's holding out on you. How many of you, the enemy hasn't come at you with that? God's holding out on you. God just wants to control you. God is so selfish. He just wants to control you. If you do that, you're not going to die. If you do that, you're not going to wreck your marriage. If you do that, you're not going to wreck your career. If you do that, you're not going to wreck your life. Come on. Did God really say that? God didn't really say that. And you walk out of that conversation and go, well, yeah, maybe he didn't. I mean, I haven't died yet. I mean, God said to the man and the woman, if you eat this fruit, you will surely die. Well, when they bit the apple, then nobody died. Maybe Adam saw that. You know, it's kind of like the buck who pushes the doe out into the thicket to see if she gets shot first. He's back in the thicket making sure, okay, nobody's getting killed. I'll go on out there now. What did you do? And she gave him the fruit, and he ate. They didn't seem to die in that moment. But it was a different kind of death. And the consequences have been throughout history. The consequences are still bearing weight on every one of us who sits here. This is the remedy for that consequence. And it started with a lie. Part of being in discipleship, y'all, is just understanding that we warn each other this way. We teach each other this way. We don't just read our Bibles for that didasco, for that knowledge, though it's very important. We also read it for how it applies to our lives. We need to be able to look at one another from across the table in love sometimes and say, you've bought into a lie. I mean, think about it, y'all. I mean, there's this being out there in the world that we call Satan that believes he's somehow going to overthrow the Creator. He's still working, and he's still, after everything that's happened, even after this, he still believes that he's going to overthrow God. So listen to that, all right? The one who is our enemy is deceived himself. He's bought so much into his own self-deception, it's nothing for him to try and convince you. The father of all lies is in of himself deceived and convinced about it. You and I need at times someone to sit across the table from us and not just tell us about Jesus and what he's done for us, but to look at us and touch that place in our lives where that matters. So our mission includes biblical instruction for a completed construction in our lives. What do we mean by that? Well, Paul says, we warn everyone. We teach everyone. We want to present everyone. Three times Paul uses the Greek word panta in this text. Three times expressing everyone, because it's not for some elite group of saints out there. We're all saints. When Paul addresses the church, he says to the saints, because of the work and person of Jesus Christ that has been given to you in that resource, you've been made a saint. You stand right with God because of Jesus Christ. And as a result of that instruction, you will be brought to maturity. You will be brought to completion. Paul says it's for everyone. Man, that ought to be good news to some of you sitting here. Because some of you don't feel like that this news is for you. It's for the saints out there. Well, guess what? You're the saint. Not because you're good enough, but because Jesus is good enough. And it's by faith in him that you have it. Paul says, so we go through this process of teaching and being made disciples and making disciples. It's everyone. It's for everybody. Because our mission begins with this personal introduction, but it ends with a personal presentation. It begins with a personal introduction, but it ends with a personal presentation, Paul says. Everyone. It's for all of us. If you belong in this local church, you are part of the everyone being brought to completion. Paul says we want to present them to God, everyone to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. And that perfect word there is not a word that means without flaw on your own or some impossible ideal that you've got to live up to there. That's not what that means at all. What it means is perfect in the sense of being brought to an established faith. You're established in your faith. You recognize who you are in light of who God made you to be, and you are about fulfilling that purpose in this world. Why you do things is no longer about your own worship and dreams. It's about how those dreams have been given to you by God to spread his glory. Sometimes that takes a lifetime for us to recognize. But Paul says, you're going to get there. Because in your relationship to Christ, you're mature when you're established in your faith. You're mature when you recognize the purpose that you're fulfilling in this world. So, some of you may be sitting there going, yeah, but Dale, I'm a pretty good Bible student. a pretty good Bible student. And this is Paul talking about himself. This is Paul talking about himself to the church. This is his mission to the church. All right? So you're misapplying this, Dale. You're misapplying this. Oh, really? We have to get to chapter 3 before we get it. But if you picked up on that, let me show you how it is for you as well, because I want you to see that we make history by staying faithful to this mission as a church. We make history by staying faithful to this mission. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he says to the church, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. It starts with Jesus. It begins with him. We preach Jesus. And then Paul says, teach and counsel. Same words, didasko and nutheteo. Teach and counsel each other. Warn each other with all the wisdom that he gives. Do that for each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Why? Because it brings him glory. And as the waters fill the earth, so will the earth be filled with an awareness of the glory of God. This is our mission that Jesus has given us to get there, to take our place in serving that purpose. So, that's what we're about at CFC. And if you're wondering if you can fit in a place like this, I want to invite you to go on that journey with us. 5-year mission? I don't know, maybe 5 years, maybe 3. It may be lifetimes. It may be what you have passing down and passing forward that reproduces in the lives of everyone who remains as a part of the church until Jesus returns. I don't know. But our mission is clear, and I invite you to join us. So as Kathy comes to play now, I'd invite you to take out your church covenants. And we're just going to take just a minute here to allow you to reflect over those, to understand what it means to be a church member. So the usher, if you need one, if you didn't get one, raise your hand, and one of the ushers will be happy to give you one here if you didn't receive one coming in. If you'd like to have one, use this time of meditation and reflection to consider this. And if you would sign it, you keep this top half right here and tear off the bottom half and place it in an offering basket as you leave today. So let's take a few moments and think about what it means to belong as a member of this church. Thank you. Some of you may want to reflect on that longer. You may be sitting here today and go, not ready to sign this just right now. I want to pray about this a little bit. Hey, that's fine. And we'd ask that you would bring that back with you next week as you come, or even the week after. It's okay. There's no time limit on that. We want you to be comfortable as well as committed in this decision. Those of you that are watching online, you've been able to see something there as well that you can click to and fill out. So those that are home today watching online, there's something there for them as well. Right after this service, we also want you to know, too, that there's an opportunity, if you are curious more about what we mean about discipleship and the discipleship process, at 10:45 back here in the gathering, we're going to run a discipleship simulation. You can kind of just be a fly on the wall and look at what happens in the context of other groups and in relationships as they meet for discipleship. And I'd like for you to invite you, really, if you have time as you leave here today, if you want to hang out and experience that. Nobody's going to embarrass you. You can just kind of be a spectator there and kind of watch it all happen in a simulation on discipleship. And that's going to meet right out here in the gathering after this service. And I would really encourage you to attend that if you're curious about it. So would you stand with me together as we close in prayer? Father in heaven, thank you for the reminder of belonging. Lord, that is a great desire of mine, that the folks who walk through these doors every weekend, even though this is a large church, can honestly say they belong here. That there are places where this church, as large as it is, feels small. And God, I pray that you would help us to make this church feel small in those places. Help us to be intentional about that as disciples and with discipleship. Lord, I thank you that you've given me the privilege of being a part of a church that is full of growth and encouragement. Father, mindful of the reality as well, is there are many who are struggling. And Lord, I pray that we can be an encouragement and a comfort to them. Understanding, Lord, that it is reciprocated through every relationship, that oftentimes we are the ones who are comforted so that we can learn how to be a comfort to others. So Father, keep us connected to that process as we move forward, not just having history with each other, but making history with each other to the glory of our God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you as you go today, folks. Thank you again for being here. We'll see you next week.